In Acts chapter 4, the Bible gives us a story that ends with something amazing. It's the story of Peter and John having gone into the temple, and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, they healed a lame man. And the authorities immediately came on them and said, "In whose name did you do this? Where did you get the power to do this?" Wow. And they said it came from Jesus Christ. And that started a series of events that takes us to the text verse in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Having gone back to the church and having shared everything that happened with the church, verse 33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." It doesn't say much grace. It doesn't say a lot of grace. The Bible says that great grace was upon this church. Can I ask you this simple question? How much of God's grace do you have resting on you? And would you desire to have great grace? Now, I love the definition of grace that I learned in Sunday school as a child. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's the power of God. And it doesn't matter where I go, I love to ask people, have you got God's power? Have you got the power of God resting on you? I'll never forget, I walked in an all-black church once, a great church, a large church, several thousand people there, and I happened to be the only person not of color there. And I sat down on the front row. A couple of minutes later, a dear black lady came in and sat down next to me. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and we kind of nodded. And then she said something to me no one's ever said before. She said, "What are you doing here, white boy?" Now, no one had ever called me white boy before in my life. I said, "Well, white boy's going to preach." She said, "Seriously?" I said, "Yes, seriously." She said, "Isn't that a hoot?" I said, "I agree with you. I agree with you." Next word out of her mouth, she said, "Have you got the stuff? Have you got the power? Because, white boy, if you don't have the stuff, you need to stay sitting right down here and let somebody get up there who has the power." What's in your life? What's in the life that you could say, by God's grace, boy, do I have grace? Now, you read through the scriptures. Boy, especially Paul, grace to you, grace to you, grace to you. You go through all the New Testament. He didn't just say that to open the book. Man, to Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Have you got the grace? Have I? Now, the Bible says they did three things, and that's how that grace got there. And I want you to get ready to write these three things down. They're marked in your Bible there in Acts chapter 4. The authorities have threatened him and said, "You be quiet, you shut up. We don't want you speaking in his name." And they put him in prison overnight. And they let him out, and they immediately threatened him again. And you understand what Peter and John were saying to him when they said, "In whose name did you do this?" They said, "We did it in the name of Jesus, the man you crucified. The one who you could not keep in the grave, he rose again." And then they let him go and they ran right back to the church. And the Bible says the minute they got back to the church, and we're going to read the account starting at verse 23, they did something amazing. This church is in dire trouble. These people that they're running up against have immediate power. They got the power to get you killed. They sure got the power to imprison you, beat you. But the minute the apostles got back to the church, you know what the church did? They praised God. They praised God. They didn't ask God to make it go away. They didn't ask God to alleviate the situation. They praised him. Let's read what it says, starting at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company, that's the church, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord. Now circle the word Lord there. The word Lord there was the word that was used for all powerful. Nothing can stay his hand. Lord, thou art God, and hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, and of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. But look at verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Do you understand? Not one thing can happen to you that God isn't 100% in control of. 100%. How's your praise? Now, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And boy, I'm so thankful for the wonderful singing that's been done here. But when you leave here, do you praise him out there? Has your wife ever seen you really praise the Lord? Have your kids seen you? I wonder if your kids would say, oh, my soul, you ought to see Dad. You talk about getting excited about God. Amen. Well, Brother Gibbs, I'm just not that kind of person. Wait a minute. Out of the abundance of the heart, amen, the mouth speaks. Amen. What's in here 100% of the time determines what comes out of here. Amen. Whoa. You get more excited about a football team? You get more excited about what than you do him? Some pastors from England were over and came to our law office, and they had some legal trouble we were helping them with our ministry. And they said, we've been in America now for a couple of months. Can we tell you something? I said, sure. What? They said, in most of your churches, the people sing like they don't enjoy it. They sing like they don't want to. It's like the leader is trying to get them to sing. Whoa. Would anybody want to praise God like you? You want God's power. The Bible says in Psalms that God inhabits the praise of his people. Whoa. That dear black lady I told you about, she said, you got the stuff? And I said, yeah, I believe I got the stuff. She said, okay, you can preach then. What she said. And she said, they tell you how we do stuff around here? I said, no, they didn't. Oh, she said, well, let me give you a heads up. She said, the first thing we do is we sing for about an hour and a half. I said, an hour and a half? Oh, yeah, she said, it drives the devil crazy. Wait When's the last time you ever made the devil mad? And she said, not only does it drive the devil crazy, she said it drives all the carnal Christians crazy. Wow. I said, boy, that's something. She said, you like to sing, don't you, white boy? I said, I'm liking it better all the time. I'm telling you straight up. She said, now, when I sing, she said, I need you to move over a little bit. I said, why is that? She said, because I need some room. I need my room. Good thing I moved over. Let me tell you what happened. That lady's singing pulled me in. That lady's praise indicted me. I sat there, and after about 30 minutes, I said, God, I want to be like her. That lady has something. By the way, if you're not going to praise him, you're going nowhere.
Amen.
Whoa. The pastor finally called me up. And he said, I see you met Sister Abby down there. I said, yeah, is that her name? He said, yeah. He said, she's an amazing lady. I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I want to be like her. I want the heart she's got when she sings. Whoa. He said, Brother Gibbs, did she tell you her testimony? I said, no. He said, Brother Gibbs, a little over a year ago, her two junior high boys and her husband went down to the bus stop. The boys catch a bus to school. Her husband goes to work by bus. And a gang car pulled up. And they whipped out shotguns and shot her family to death. Then they got out of their cars and they took their shotguns and blew the heads off her two boys. We had no heads to bury. She didn't tell you that. I said, no, all I want to do is praise God like she does. He said, did she tell you she has stage 4 cancer? And no money for medicine? I said, no. No, she didn't tell me that. What is it that's stifling the praise in you? What's squelching it? My law partner, Charlie Cray, as we were together 25 years, when he would sing, he sang loud. He loved to sing. But he had this gift of singing a perfect half note off. Perfect. And Brother Vaughn, he would get singing so loud a half note off, he'd get a whole part of the church singing the key he was in, not the key the church was in. And true, a dozen times I've seen a song lyric say, whoa, 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 let's stop. Let's go to the key he's in. And the minute they did that, he went another half note off. It didn't do a lick. And I said, Charlie, you're messing it all up. He said, I know. But I love to praise him. When's the last time you said, boy, don't stop singing now? Is there praise in you? Praise is not an option. And if I read my Bible right, Pastor, when we get to heaven, we're going to spend all eternity praising Him. And for some of you, it will be a first-time experience. What a tragedy. You want great grace. It starts with great praise. Look at the second thing that happened. You want great grace, you got to praise him. Number two, you got to get bold. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Would you underline the word all boldness? You want great grace. The first thing you got to do is praise him. The second thing you got to do is get bold. I can't explain what's happened in America. It just dumbfounded me. Every perverse lifestyle imaginable has come out of the closet, and God's people have gone into the closet. How has that happened? That didn't make a lick of sense. Whoa. Now, I hope you're bold for Christ. But let me tell you what we find in our lawsuits. These statistics hold up. Less than 6% of the Christians ever witnessed. Ever. And only 4% of the Christians have ever personally tried to lead someone to Christ one-on-one. Do you understand? For every one person we're winning to Christ in our land, the Muslims are winning 18. This doesn't sound possible. We right now, if we keep being bold and witnessing at the level we are, we're on a line of extinguishment. Amen. We're not winning enough to replenish our own ranks. Amen. That's craziness. Now God says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Amen. Boy, I trust you're a bold witness. A dear pastor friend of mine, a black man, Glendy, he and I are going to travel on a plane together. And he said, I'll get the seats all set up and everything. I said, great. He said, I'll meet you at the airport. Man, I met him there. And I looked at our boarding passes. He said, I got us in the last row. I said, we don't want to be in the last row. On this airplane, the engines are in the back. Man, your molars will vibrate for a month. We don't want to be back there. He said, no, no, no. We got to be in the last row. I said this. He said, we're going to do it for Jesus. And I'm like, what is the last row got to do with Jesus? Next thing he said is, we got to get on last. I said, no, 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 no. All the bin space will be gone. We don't want to get on last. He said, you get on last for Jesus. And I mean, this is a dear friend of mine, and I thought, I don't know what he's been eating for breakfast, but it isn't good. Finally, everybody's on. And the gate agent there said, come on, you guys got to get on. You're the last. He said, okay, let's go. He hands me his briefcase. And what he did next, I'll never forget. He unbuttons his shirt, and he pulls his shirt and his coat back. And on his T-shirt, he has printed, I can tell you how to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. And he walks up to the gate agent like this. And she looks at me and she said, you with him? And I said, yeah, kind of, right. She said, can I take a picture? She gets her and she takes a picture. Now we go down, and the flight attendants in the front, they're like, boy, look at that. They even got one of the pilots to step back. Look at that. Man, they're taking... We're walking down the aisles going like this. And people are standing up taking pictures. And I'm just carrying his briefcase. And I'm watching him do this and I'm thinking, wow, I got enough room. We could put the whole Romans Road on here. I mean, we could do some serious witnessing. I'm telling you, 50 people took his picture. We get to the last row, we sit down, and while we're buckling up, a flight attendant comes up and she says, "Do not get off this plane without talking to me." She said, "God sent you for me." She said, "Promise me you won't get off this plane." I thought, wow. He turned to me and he said, "Pray, pray." We took off. 20 minutes later, they undid the seatbelt. The minute the seatbelt sign came off, 7 people got up and walked back to him. And before we were done, 5 of them trusted Christ. Well, Brother Gibbs, that's not my way. Well, what is your way? His way's not my way either. But you know what I'm finding? Our churches are full of wonderful men who don't have a way. God says, "I want you to be bold. Bold for Jesus." The best soul winner in the church that I grew up in was a tall, red-headed man. And it was always kind of amazing because he was not a good speaker. He didn't stutter, but it was close. He had trouble completing his sentences, and everyone would say, they called him Red, they would say, "It's amazing Red wins so many people to the Lord." One night at our church, our pastor said, "You know, I think Red's probably the best soul winner we have." And he said, "We did a count, and Red has won over 300 people to the Lord in the last 10 years. Not in here, out there." And he said, "If Red won you to the Lord, I want a word of testimony how it all happened." And one guy jumped up immediately and he said, "I'll tell you how it happened. Red works at Goodyear Tire and Rubber." Now, this was before they had robots and all of that. He said, "We work in the foundry, hard, physical, dirty work." And he said, "Every day when we walk out onto the floor, Red says, 'If you want to see what Jesus means to me, watch me work.'" Amen. He said, "If you want to see what the Savior means in my life, watch me work today." And then he goes out there and does the work of 4 people. Amen. And he said, "We hated him." But he said, "Then one day I said, 'I want what he's got. I want what he's got.'" And in the lunchroom, he led me to the Lord. Amen. He's led hundreds to the Lord in the lunchroom. You want great grace? You got to praise him.
Amen.
You want great grace? You got to get bold.
Amen.
Now, we've never had nicer looking tracks. We've never had better soul winning tools. What we lack is the hearts to use them.
Amen.
And what I beg you to do, you want great grace? Number one, you got to praise him.
Amen.
Number two, you got to get bold.
Amen.
Bold. Write the third key down and we're done. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now remember, the Holy Spirit has already come. These people were already Spirit-filled. But God says, "I want to fill you. I want to give you that great grace." There is nothing more powerful in the universe than prayer. Nothing. Do you understand? When you pray, you are talking to the creator of the universe. You're talking to the God who gives you every breath you draw. You're talking to the God who says, "With me, nothing is impossible."
Amen.
What's impossible is only impossible with man. It's never impossible with God. And then he said, ask. What do you want? How good are you at asking? How good are you at getting with God? He says you have not because you ask not. What's on your ask? I've never met anybody with any kind of a prayer life who didn't have a great prayer list. Because I think without a prayer list, the problem is we just sort of run out of things to remember to ask for. So I started putting a prayer list together. I have a prayer list where every day I pray for 62 things for my wife. Every day. Now, there's nothing on that list peculiar to us, nothing. I've shared the list hundreds and hundreds of times. And if you would go down the list, you would say, I want that for my wife, I want that, I want that, I want that. There's only one problem, you're not asking. What do you want God to do in your life? Oh, well, Brother Gibbs, I'm really so perfect, I don't need a lot of adjustment. Well, if that's true, you pray for me. What's on your list? What are you asking for? Show me what you're asking for, and I'll show you where you are with God. Because we are commanded to ask. Now, God says, I want you to hear me. When you get to heaven, you're going to be amazed at what you could have done if you had only asked. But when we don't ask, then we jeopardize everything. Now, what I'm about to tell you is not in the Bible. Would be wonderful if it were, but it's not. It would be wonderful if the Bible says, as a child of God, you get 10 miracle asks. Not 11, 10. 10 times you can ask God for impossible things. And he says, ask and you shall receive. That's not in the Bible. You know what is in the Bible? The number is unlimited. It's only limited by you asking. What are you asking that's impossible for your kids? What are you asking that's impossible for your church? What are you asking that's impossible for this nation? What are you asking that's impossible for the people you love? What are you asking that's impossible for your enemies? How's your prayer? Now, there's one problem with prayer, and with this I'm done. Nobody can do your prayer for you. I love Brother Vaughn. Love this man. And he can pray for Brother Vaughn, and he can pray for me, but he can't take the place of my prayer. The only person who can do my prayer is me. I'm afraid when we get to heaven, the Lord himself is going to turn to me and say, David, why did you ask for so pitiful little? Didn't you understand I'm all powerful? Didn't you understand with me nothing is impossible? Didn't you understand 6 times ask and ye shall receive? Look at what you could have done. Now, the devil doesn't care that you heard what you just heard. In fact, I think I can make the case from Scripture that he loves it that you heard what I just said, as long as you don't do anything with it. His goal is to get you out of here the same as you came. But you want great grace, great grace, then my friend, you got to praise him. And you got to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to get bold. Bold for my Savior. And then I am going to pray. I'm going to pray. I know that I've spent tons of times worrying about things way more than I prayed for. I hope you've not done that. But I have. And I know that I spent time doing all kinds of other things. Isn't it amazing? People will spend more time watching a ball game than they'll ever spend praying. More time on social media than they'll ever spend praying. And then we wonder why our lives are where they are. Boy, great grace was upon them. That dear black lady that I told you about, Miss Abby, she said, after we sing for about an hour and a half, and by the way, they sang for about an hour and 50 minutes that day. And you know what? It went by like that. She said, the next thing we do is confess sin. I said, what do you mean? She said, if people have done crimes and bad stuff, they need to confess it. She said, every week we have people get saved, and man, they've done crimes, and boy, they come to church and they confess that crime. And she said, we take them right down to the police station and turn them in. I said, you what now? Oh, she said, 2 weeks ago we had a guy try to blow the policeman's car up with his family in it. Man, he confessed. We walked him right down. The whole church went down. She looked at me and she said, you haven't done any crimes, have you, white boy? I said, none that I'm talking about this morning, I'll tell you that. Next thing you know, I'll be down at the police station. She said, white boy, repentance is important. It's important that we change direction. That's what the word repent means. It means I was going one way and I'm done. I'm changing direction. I'm going to change direction with my praise. God, you haven't heard enough from me, but you're going to. I'm going to praise you. And God, I've not been bold. How in the world, after all you've done for me, could I not be bold for you? And God, I'm going to start asking. I'm going to start praying. I'm changing direction. Abby, thank you. You changed my life. I'll never forget you. My prayer coming here this morning was that God would do something that we'd never forget. Amen. That by the grace of God, we'd leave this great meeting with great grace. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you. Oh my. There's no substitute for great grace. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart. And God helping me, I want to leave here different than I've come. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Father, you see the hands. And more importantly, you see the hearts. Father, we want great grace. You didn't tell us about that church so we could just know of them. You did that because you want it for us.